From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hi, and welcome to This Day in History class. It is July 4th. Poet Walt Whitman published his book Leaves of Grass for the first time on this day in 1855. Sometimes people will quibble with the fact that probably you couldn't go into the store on July 4th to buy it because it was Independence Day and the store wouldn't have been open. But it's generally recognized that July 4th was the day this book came out for the first time. So Walt Whitman was born on May 31st of 1819. He was from a very proud and patriotic family. All of his siblings were named after their ancestors or after the nation's founders. And they lived in places that are boroughs of New York City today, but at the time they were their own separate communities. So places like Brooklyn and communities that are in central and eastern Long Island. Walt Whitman went to public schools for about 6 years, but for the most part, he was self-educated. And before he published Leaves of Grass, he worked in several other fields, especially journalism and teaching. He also wrote some fiction. So in 1844, Ralph Waldo Emerson published an essay called The Poet, in which he meditated on what poetry is and what a poet's place should be in society. Here's the thing that he wrote in there, quote, "America is a poem in our eyes. Its ample geography dazzles the imagination, and it will not wait long for meters." He was basically calling for the United States to have its own poet to record, to reflect, and to shape upon the young nation's consciousness. He thought the nation needed a poet. So it's really not completely clear whether this essay affected Walt Whitman's decision to be a poet. There are critics who argue that it definitely did. Not 100% certain, but regardless, what he went and did is basically exactly what Emerson said needed to happen. He went out and he wrote the book that Emerson said the nation was lacking. So Walt Whitman printed the first edition of Leaves of Grass at his own expense, 795 copies. That was all that he could afford. And this book contained 12 poems. None of them had titles. They were very different from most poetry at the time. They were all over the place in terms of their length, and they didn't fit into conventional structures or rhyming patterns at all. The lines themselves, like the written lines on the page, they were also all over the place. They were very different from one another in terms of how long they were, and they were so long that he actually printed it on very wide paper so that he wouldn't have to break the lines. He could print the whole thing out on this very wide page. The tone of these poems is relentlessly optimistic, and underlying the whole thing is this focus on the promise of what American democracy had the potential to be. So he sent a lot of copies of this book to lots of other poets. No one really cared, except for Ralph Waldo Emerson, whose letter that he wrote in response began, quote, "I greet you at the beginning of a great career." Perhaps unsurprisingly, the fact that Walt Whitman had written exactly the kind of book that Ralph Waldo Emerson said needed to be written meant that Ralph Waldo Emerson liked it a lot. Leaves of Grass wasn't the only thing that Walt Whitman worked on for the rest of his career, but he did work on it a lot. He kept releasing multiple new editions of the book that would have new poems and revisions of the old one. The 1856 edition was on smaller paper. The idea was that you could just carry it in your pocket, and he put the word poem in the titles of all the poems, maybe because of all the criticism that he had gotten after the first edition, that these things that he had written were not even poetry. The 1860 edition was even more controversial because it included Children of Adam, which was a celebration of the body and of sexual relationships between women and men. And it also included another group of poems called the Calamus Cluster, and that celebrated love between men. This got the book banned in a lot of places. But it was really this edition that started to sell pretty well, maybe in part because of all that controversy about its contents. The American Civil War really affected Walt Whitman's book. He had been so optimistic in his poetry about what America could be, and the nation was literally tearing itself apart over the issue of whether it was okay to own human beings as property. He couldn't keep writing relentlessly optimistic poetry in that kind of environment. The 1867 edition of Leaves of Grass included some of his wartime poetry in the form of Drum Taps and Sequel to Drum Taps, but this edition came out in a lot of different versions, and some of those poems were in there, and sometimes the edition would not have those poems. The whole thing was very haphazard and full of errors. It was really almost like he had ripped up his own work the way the country had torn itself up and then tried to stick it back together. Whitman spent the last years of his life in Camden, New Jersey, where he died on March 26th of 1892 at the age of 72. And today he's remembered as one of the nation's most influential and groundbreaking poets. You can learn more about Walt Whitman and his work in the April 17th, 2017 episode of Stuff You Miss in History Class. You can subscribe to This Day in History Class on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Tomorrow, we'll be visiting a factory full of phosphorus.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CenturTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.